Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Andy.
Donald Trump.
So we are back. There is so much to talk about. I literally had to leave out one of the biggest Donald Trump stories of the week because there was another one that trumped it. God damn it. But there is so much post-debate stuff to talk about. The world has gotten back to normal, I would say. But before we get there, let's do a couple of housekeeping notes. Make sure you go to lookforwardshow.com. There you can sign up for premium content because you're only going to get the first 30 minutes of this show. But to get the rest of the show, which is an additional 60 minutes or so, go sign up. It's $5 a month or $50 for the full year. You'll get this show in its entirety, our other shows in our premium content, such as our James Bond podcast that just had a new episode with Andy on it.
That was super fun.
Yes, it was a very good episode, by the way. You also get No Time to Bleed, which is our action movie podcast that we do once a month. You'll get our show Airing of Grievances, which is all about Seinfeld and how myself and one of our hosts related to our personal lives. It's super crazy. It's probably the best word. And it's really entertaining, amongst many other things. So go sign up, $5 a month or $50 for the full year. That means you get 2 months for free if you sign up for the full year. All right, so let's get right into it. We did a pretty in-depth show about the debate and our thoughts on it. So immediately after the debate ended and both sides went back to their separate corners, shit went crazy. And by both sides, I mean Donald Trump. I think Hillary Clinton has said maybe two things since the debate because she hasn't fucking had to.
Interestingly enough, she's done two completely unrelated things, which is she had you haven't heard about this because these don't make news, but she's out there working, but nobody pays attention. She did a speech Wednesday on disabled policies, which she's going to add a bunch more to help disabled people. And then she put an op-ed out in the Times, I think, on Friday.
Oh, really? I didn't catch that.
Yeah, for low-cost housing. So she's just out there returning to normal. Meanwhile, that tennis ball she threw at the end of the debate, Trump's been chasing that the whole time.
Yep. I mean, it was literally a perfect move, right? It's like, go get him. It's like what I do with my dog.
I don't think we gave her enough credit for because this has played out so brilliantly.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, I didn't truly see, like, I got the Alyssa Machado thing at the end, which we'll talk about briefly. I didn't separate it out as a story, but like, I got the notion of, you know, bringing her up and, you know, showing like how shitty of a person he is to women and all of that stuff. I totally got all that. However, I did not get the level of a trap that she was setting up for him and how bad it was going to be in the coming days. Her campaign totally saw that coming, and I did not. I thought he was going to be like, I don't know why I thought this, because history doesn't prove that at all. Like, I thought he was just going to be like, oh, what a bitch, and then kind of move on, but he just could not let it go.
It would have been so easy to go, oh yeah, you know, stuff happens. Let's talk about whatever. Like, it would be so easy to go, well, what, this is a distraction. Let's talk about the real things. But he has been, like I said, chasing this down all week. The craziest one was like Thursday night into Friday morning. He just stayed up all night tweeting.
Yeah, from his golden toilet.
Which lends more credence to Howard Dean's theory, if you ask me.
Yeah. Look, so he basically tweets out like, hey, you know, you should, you know, did Hillary Clinton help this woman get into Alyssa Machado? Did she help get her into the United States and get her citizenship to kind of come after him? And you should check out Alyssa Machado's sex tape and her past. That was kind of his thing at like 3:30 in the morning. And to that, I'm kind of like, really? We're like, you're losing with women at a unbelievable rate. But slut shaming, that's the way you're going on this one?
Well, for one, So the alt-right losers were passing around this porn scene, which is just some other woman entirely.
Yeah, a woman named Angel Dark.
You looked into her, did you?
No, I didn't. I just, the fucking articles. But it was really funny because there was, I think it was Slate or something like that, and it was like, the journalist was like, look, I have looked through all of this woman's videos so that you don't have to. Like, it's not her. Also, you're welcome. Like, yeah, that dude had just been staring at porn for his job. So he was living the dream.
This is research for work.
Why are your hands in your pants? Shut up. Leave me alone.
What I also didn't realize is that she's like semi-famous in Spanish language television.
Yeah, she is.
She was on Big Brother, the Univision version of it.
Yes. And the racier version.
Yes. And so she's like semi-famous in that world, and that's like where he has a lot of headway to make up with. But yeah, so like I checked out a podcast from some Hispanic Americans just to see what they were saying about it.
Right.
It was up in iTunes, and it was like, oh, interesting. A Hispanic American look at politics. Let me listen to this perspective. And they were all like, I cannot believe that he's going after Alicia Machado. And
like, you fucking idiots.
So apparently people really like her, and he's going after her now. This story's been around for a couple of months. Like, she's been making the rounds on all the Spanish language television telling the story, and the Clinton campaign just picked up on it. And nice. No one else had been paying attention in the like English language media. So yeah, she just lobbed that out there at the end, and the dumb animal that he is has been chasing this around all week.
Yeah, it was really funny because he basically, so like his and we'll get into this a little bit later too, because it ties to a later story. Like, his idea here is, I'm gonna slam this woman and say she was in the sex tape. Now, okay, so there's two parts to this, right? So there's the Angela Dark thing where it's like, oh, you know, she was in a porn. Angela Dark, not the same person as Alyssa Machado at all. By the way, the easiest debunkable thing I've ever seen. Hi, I'm Alyssa Machado. Standing next to me is former pornography star Angel Dark. Moving on. We're not the same person. Like, guys, like, we live in an age where you could just track Angela Dark down. I'm sure it wouldn't be that difficult. That's one part.
All y'all look alike.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the fucking Chris Tucker version of like race relations. So there's that part of it, but then there's the other part where, like you said, she was on Big Brother or some sort of like reality show where she had sex with someone on the show. Now, on like Big Brother, you know, the Spanish version or what have you, like, they show it. That's why that show was so popular overseas, because people were like, I want to see people bang, right? But so they'll show it on there. But when she had sex with this person, the report I read was that she had sex with this guy. Like, she was in a relationship with somebody who wasn't on the show. She ended up sleeping with this guy on the show, but they were just having sex under a sheet. So all you saw was night vision of two people under a sheet kind of moving around. Ooh, sex tape. Like, dude, they could show that on American television at 8 o'clock at night. That's not a thing. So I guess that's his, like, oh, look, she was in a sex tape. But it also came out, again, I feel like he doesn't realize the internet exists. Like,
cyber. Dude, he doesn't know that cyber exists.
The cyber is always watching. Like, he was in a Playboy porno. Like, legit was in it. Now, he wasn't naked or anything. He was just, like, playing himself, like, popping bottles with these, like, playmates. But later in that same video, like, they would have seen, like, one-on-one scenes of themselves, like, masturbating and rubbing honey on each other. Like, that's in an article I read. So, like, you're really slamming her for being in a quote-unquote porno? Like, dude, you were in an actual porno, and your wife did actual nude photos.
Yeah, she, like, did legit lesbian porno.
Right. And also, Alyssa Machado...
It was art.
Yeah, sorry. It was art, right. And by the way, Alyssa Machado did pose topless for Playboy. But again, who cares? No one gives a fuck that someone showed their tits in Playboy. Who gives a fuck? No one cares.
Yeah, again, look at our perspective, first lady, on that one. There, mm-hmm. You have no room to talk.
Right, dude. You can see her fucking. You can see any part of the potential first lady you want at any time.
Can you fucking imagine? Just can you wrap your head around that? Hey, check out the first lady's pussy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure conservatives would be totally fine if Michelle Obama was fucking spread eagle and hustler, dude.
They shit the bed because her arms were showing.
Right. But this woman, you can see fucking her internal organs if you want to on the internet. Get the fuck out of my face. And look, and that's not even me slut shaming. I don't give a fuck that she showed her ass.
I don't care. It doesn't matter. But but pointing out the hypocrisy is fun.
Yes,
but,
exactly.
But yeah, and there's people on the left who are, I think, taking it way too far as like going after Melania.
That's a dumb move.
Yeah, that's, I mean, not anyone in any official capacity, but you'll see like comments on stories and stuff, and I'm like, hey, come on now.
Yeah,
she was a model, she can do what she wants, but it is interesting, the hypocrisy of it all, since we went through, you know, oh my God, I can't believe she's covering her arms. That's so beneath the dignity of the first lady.
By the way, check out this sweet lesbian porn. Oh yeah. Like, come on, man. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, if you're gonna be a hypocrite, try to hide your hypocrisy maybe a little bit. Give it a couple of months in between your you know, your raging from one to the opposite point. It just doesn't make any sense.
You correctly called, I don't know how you predicted this one, but Trump has been sinking all week. We have a return to normalcy in the polls.
It was a real stab in the dark.
I think it was sort of artificially propped up because she's been like, she's been ahead the whole time.
Yes, of course.
After the convention, she went, I thought, like, artificially high.
Yeah, it was at 90. It was like 93-7. I'm like, come on, that's insane.
Oh, the likelihood on 538. Yeah,
yeah.
But she had like an 8-point lead, which I thought was artificial. And then after, you know, the deplorables and the fucking getting thrown into a van like a sack of potatoes, like the
yeah, right.
She was ahead by an average of about 1 to 1.5. Now it's about 4, which I don't know if that's leveling off or if that's going to stay, but it's probably going to settle down. She'll be ahead by about 2 to 3 points, which is fine. That's enough.
Yeah. I mean, would Obama beat Romney by 5, I think?
No, not even that.
Not even that? So, yeah, it's, I mean, at this point, it's like.
Like
it's
2 to 3, somewhere in there.
Right. Look. If she beats him by 0.1, I'm fine with it. I don't give a shit. Just beat him.
She beats him by one fucking vote, that's fine. But yeah. I would obviously rather she wipe the floor with him.
Yes, I want him to be embarrassed.
The thing that I'm worried about is that somebody looks at gets the wrong lesson from this election. And yes. Rather than saying, hey, that was a terrible idea, let's go in a different direction, they go, you know, they do what they did with Goldwater, which is, how can I be a better Donald Trump?
Yes. And look,
the better Barry Goldwater, by the way, was Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, exactly. by the way, like I do think that's exactly what's going to happen. The Republicans do not learn lessons. They do not go in the opposite direction. They go further. And they didn't learn their lesson with Bush. And they were like, you know, maybe we need to get somebody who's a little bit more like, nope, fucking drive it right into the ground. Like they don't learn lessons, dude. They don't. That's not really their thing. They don't really believe
past mistakes?
No. No, they don't believe in it. They're like, no, fuck,
I don't know.
That.
I could kind of go for some compassionate conservative right now, actually.
Yeah, it wouldn't be so bad. I mean, that's the funny thing is, man, looking back, George W. Bush, was he really that bad? Was he really that bad? He was kind of a dummy, but he wasn't I never felt like he was like a horrible guy.
He at least had some principles, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, he did. I didn't necessarily agree with him, but like I never thought he was a horrible human being. This guy, on the other hand, oof.
And the fucking, I mean, I'll never live down the wars, but as far as like he was actually fairly reasonable compared to where they're at now.
Yeah. I mean, he did run that campaign against John McCain that said that John McCain fathered an illegitimate black baby. That wasn't cool.
Oh, well, that had Karl Rove's fingerprints all over it. Though. Oh, that guy was a fucking dick.
Is, still is. Still is.
Like, still is. Like, continues to be, yes.
Like, you know that that girl he adopted, and she was, like, Filipino. Like, she wasn't even black. They were just like, ah, fuck it. Republicans won't know.
He's got a secret black daughter.
A secret black daughter who lives with them.
What? It's the worst kept secret ever.
She's right upstairs in her bedroom. So strange. So, all right. So let's jump
into... to win South Carolina. Fuck.
God damn it, South Carolina. God damn it, Southern Republicans. Read, please. For love of God.
But yes, speaking of racism...
yeah, this is a pretty good story. And we'll blaze through it because it doesn't take long to get right to the bigotry. So,
have you been covering Paul LePage, by the way?
Not really. No, we haven't. All right. So
Paul LePage has been a fucking maniac all year.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of what he does. So Paul LePage is the governor of Maine. And you would think, like, oh, it's Maine. They're probably pretty reasonable up there. Well, not Paul LePage. He's the governor. And he had come out a couple weeks ago with this whole idea that he had this binder full of black drug dealers. Like, he was like, ah, black and Latin drug dealers, read Mexican. And he's like, look, I've got a binder, not like Romney's binder full of women, but I got a binder full of minorities. And 90% of them are, you know, are responsible for the heroin sales in Maine. All these minorities.
That came out from, they legitimately have a terrible heroin problem up there. But
yeah.
He gave some press conference where he's like, all these people named like Smoothie and Shifty and D-Money come up.
He's the oldest white man ever.
Like, yeah, yes, drug dealers from 90s sitcoms come up here and sell heroin.
Yeah, and also, quote, impregnate white women before they leave.
Yes, the bad kids that Eddie Winslow was hanging out with on Family Matters come up here and
knock up our women. So you know, they had been asking, and they're like, yeah, you said, you know, you got this, like, this binder full of minorities. Like, what's up with that? And he was like, all right, bam, here it is. So he put it out online. Turns out half of them are white. Shocking news to everyone involved. Of course, there are, half of them are white. You know why? Because Maine's mostly white. That's why.
Yeah, seriously, it's Maine.
Yeah, hello. You know, he even said, oh, 95% of the women in Maine are white. Yeah. So you're going to have more people. You're going to have, it was, by the way, it was more than half of the people are white drug dealers. Like, okay. Again, all races sell drugs, guys. All of them. I don't know why that's a shock to anyone. But apparently, then, after saying that 90% of the drug dealers were minorities, and then being proven wrong by his own information, he was like, no, I didn't mean that. I meant that are coming from out of town and selling heroin, but not methamphetamines, because that's different. What? Is it drugs or not drugs? I'm confused. So, yeah, Paul LePage is a fucking idiot. And I can easily go on record and saying he's the dumbest governor in the state or in the country. Easily the dumbest. And that's including Sam Brownback.
That's a high bar.
And that's including Sam Brownback. Yeah. I mean, how do you not check your own numbers before you come out and say that? 90% are black or Hispanic. Except for when it's like 55% are white. But
yeah, you could have taken some of the white people out of your binder.
Yeah, before you posted it online, you fucking idiot. Rig the numbers. Lie to me, Paul. Lie to me. So
he's been saying wackadoo shit all year, basically, and just embarrassing the state, which is so weird because you think about, like, the Northeast is like Vermont, Bernie Sanders, but bunch of hippies, right? And then over in Maine, just this madness is going on.
Well, he also, and then we'll move on. He also said that he was basically, like, cool with people just, like, killing drug dealers, just fucking Punisher, fucking Frank Castle vigilante style. Like, ah, it's fine. It's like, oh, okay. And he said, look, when you're in a war, you got to shoot the enemy, and the enemy right now are people of color. Except, but it's not. It's 50% or more white people. So start, listen, Maine folks, start killing white people. That's what your governor is telling you to do. It's that
simple.
This
is the quote. I tell you, everybody in Maine, we have constitutional carry. Load up and get rid of the drug dealers because, folks, they're killing our kids. How is that not directly encouraging people to shoot people?
This guy got fucking elected to public office. That's amazing to me. He says they're overwhelming. It's an overwhelmingly majority of people coming in are people of color or people of Hispanic origin. By the way, hey, dummy, people of color doesn't just mean black. So just saying. But yeah, Paul LePage, American hero. I don't know.
He was one of the early the early supporters of Trump, too.
Of course he was. Of course.
Well, I know. Shocking news. But yeah, like there was that time forever where Trump couldn't get anybody of any actual consequence to support him. And then there was old Paul LePage.
He's got your fucking back. Like, come on, man. God damn it. Like, get it together. But yeah, so for some fucking dumbass reason, Paul LePage is your guy.
To the surprise of no one, there's white drug dealers up there.
Jesus Christ. I mean,
he also turned down like what was that? There's the drug they were trying to get funding for that can help people that are having an overdose.
Yeah. And he was like, no, fuck that.
Yeah. He's like, they're just going to do it again. Like, you could save people and not have them die. No. All right.
Yeah. But like, what about D money and smooth tea? Or fucking MC Light. I don't know. Like, I don't know where he gets his fucking hip hop references, but they're retarded. So, all right. So let's move on from there. Let's get into the meat of this week.
Trying to remember what Terry. I think Terry Crews' name on Battle Bowl was T Money.
Yes, it was T Money. Yep, that is correct.
Of course, you watched. Battle Dome. That's what it was. Battle Dome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where he gets all of his like references to black people. He's like, look, and then there's T-Money, then there's Saber on American Gladiators. I mean, in my binder, there's it's just a bunch of fucking stupid terms. They're black. They've got mastodons. They can do dance karate. Like, sir, you're just talking about the Power Rangers. Like, shut up. Just post it online. Just post this binder online. Everything Paul LePage knows about black people comes directly from pop culture television programming. So from there, there's the one of the big stories this week was the JASTA vote, which Obama had the gall to veto this shitty law. And for some reason, everybody in Congress damn near was like, nah, we can get together on this. Fuck Obama. Let's show him. And so the JASTA rule is the Justice Against Sponsors of Terrorism Act, or JASTA for short, which, quote, would allow victims of terrorism on U.S. soil to sue foreign governments found responsible for those particular attacks. The main target was the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And so this is to support sympathetic groups in America that are survivors of the victims of the 9/11 attacks. So on his face, that sounds pretty good, right? Like, hey, my son or daughter were killed during 9/11. I want to sue Saudi Arabia because all of the terrorists come from Saudi Arabia. And aha, bam, got him. Well, there's this whole thing about whether or not it's actually state-sponsored. So that sort of kind of fucks it up if you just start suing countries because they didn't necessarily sponsor the attack.
Yeah, it's like called sovereign immunity.
Yeah. So hey, what are your thoughts?
Like,
go ahead.
Like a bunch of Americans, if they go do something fucked up on their own, the country's not responsible for it, right? Or if you do something in an act of war, you know, then that's not held against you, and you have what they call sovereign immunity. They're trying to make it so that people can sue for that, and nobody, you know, it's an election year. Nobody wanted to be seen as against the victims of 9/11, right? Like it passed what 97-1 in the Senate, and the one was Harry Reid, who's retiring this year.
Yeah, how convenient.
So he's got no skin in the game, but. But God bless him. He's been out there going, this is a terrible idea.
Well, and it's funny because I don't know how they could. I guess the biggest part of this, like, look, it's really obvious the bat moves of this, right? So basically what ends up happening is now that this is passed, you take the serious processes of dealing with terrorism and things like that, and you put them in the hands of like regular lawyers and local judges. That's a bad move, man, because they don't understand, like they don't have all of the full information about whether a state has sponsored terrorism. They're just going off of just, we can sue these people and try to make money off of it, which helps to destroy Arab American relations, according to this this article from Huffington Post, which I thought was pretty good. And they're also going to the extent of like, look, Saudi Arabia has been coming under serious fire from like the world community about all of their horrible atrocities. And so, you know, understandably, so they're trying to move Saudi Arabia on some things like, hey, why don't you join the fucking modern world, or maybe even like last century? And so they're like, okay, like we'll think about it. But now adding this onto it, they're kind of like, yeah, fuck the Western world, man. I'm not dealing with your bullshit. Now what's interesting is, so because of this, sovereign immunity that you were talking about, you know, yeah, it's one thing for us to sue them, right? But again, you have to think about precedent, because now it breaks down the wall of sovereign immunity. Now other countries can pass similar laws and do the same thing to us. Do you want the United States to get sued into fucking oblivion over every drone strike we do?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Cause that will happen.
Or suing individual soldiers could happen. Somebody could sue Donald Rumsfeld, which is actually fine. I have no problem with that one.
Turns out I agree with Congress here.
Up to and including suing the president. So this is like a huge Pandora's box here, right? And Obama tried his darndest to let everyone know, hey, this is probably a terrible idea. You should go ahead and not do that. He vetoes it, sends it back, and they just got like all in a froth. Oh, we can override a veto. We got bipartisan support on this one. They override it, and dipshit Mitch McConnell's out there like, oh, actually, you know what? There are some unintended consequences we didn't think about. Obama should have done a better job of explaining it.
Yeah, that's
the
best.
He vetoed it. He sent it back with a whole note about, hey, look, at all this stuff here, I understand where you're coming from on this one, but it could lead to this. He wrote a whole letter and sent it back to Congress with the veto. And they just really fucking wanted to override one of his vetoes before he got out of office.
Yep.
Because Mitch McConnell has made it his life's mission to be a pain in Barack Obama's ass.
Yep. And like that to me says more about Mitch McConnell and the Republicans and some of the Democrats too, that they were willing to not read the bill, not pay attention to what the president said, or just be like, eh, fuck it. Who cares? Like, to blame the president for your lack of reading and understanding of a bill is maybe the most bullshit argument I've heard from the Republican since he's been put in office. Well, it's your fault that we didn't know more.
Like, he vetoed it.
Yeah, dude, I fucking vetoed it. What do you think? He doesn't use the veto that often. And then he wrote back notes saying, this is why I didn't. They're like, eh, I don't believe you, Obama. You're trying to.
Whatever, Obama.
You're trying to play 47 degree fucking Connect Four on us. No, we see it this time. Override veto. Oh, shit, what have we done? Yeah, you're dumb because you didn't fucking pay attention.
Are they fucking children who, like. Okay, so daddy explained to them not to put their fingers in the electrical outlet. They did it anyway and then got mad at him and said, you should have done a better job of explaining what would have happened if I put my fingers in there.
Like, yeah, I did. Remember that part where I said, don't fucking do that?
Yeah, that veto I did?
Yeah, I mean,
just do those arbitrarily.
Yeah, like, guys, it's not every fucking Wednesday I come out and I'm like, all right, bring out the bills. Allow me to veto all of them. Okay, now I'm going to go back to my hobbit hole. Like, no, dude, he doesn't do them that often. And you
don't obstruct your shit just to do it. I'm not you.
Right, and I really think that's what they think. Is like, he vetoed it just to fuck with them. Like, no, that's what you do. That's not what he's doing. So he was absolutely correct. And so 28 senators, before the time that they did the vote to override the veto, 28 senators released a letter in which they acknowledged that the bill was flawed, pledging to, quote, fix it next term. They understood what they were, the things that were wrong, and yet they still voted to override his veto.
You want to know the most maddening thing about this? They just got off of like a 50 some odd day vacation, came and worked for 15 days, and then they did this, and well, I guess we'll fix it later. Bye. And now they're off for another 40 some odd days off.
Must be nice, man.
If you can get elected to Congress, do it, because you get like half the year off.
Yeah. And you don't really have to work that hard. What do you have to like read a bill?
This is seriously the least amount of days that Congress has worked since like the 60s.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah. Like, it's a cushy gig. There's probably a lot of political implications, but when you're out here voting in November, whoever your incumbent is, just vote them out. I would like to see a complete turnover. Everybody. I don't care.
You're fucking anarchist. Fuck it. Kick them all out.
How hilarious would that be if we just complete turnover?
I feel like it would probably be more disastrous than anything else. But
switch all the blues to red, switch all the reds to blues, fuck it.
Like, oh boy. Actually, that would probably actually work out better for Democrats because they have less seats. So yeah.
That's true. But
it's just
vote the bums out 2016.
Which comes up every single year. Every year.
And no one ever does. The bums are still there. Vote them out.
Yeah. Or look, I'm not even saying you got to vote just quote unquote across the board vote the bums out. But here's an idea. Why don't you pay attention to the people who you're fucking voting for?
Yeah. Look into what they've been doing. If you have a senator or congressman who's just been obstructing things and taking time off and not doing shit since he's been there, but being a pain in the ass and helping to make sure that the government shuts down every couple of years, why don't you vote that piece of shit out?
Yep, that'd be nice. Sure would be good. Yeah, I mean, we've got Ben Cardin and Barbara Mikulski. Like, yeah, they're fine. They're not hard fighters, but Barbara Mikulski kind of looks like a bulldog, so I can appreciate that. she's kind of like a tough old lady.
I got Joe Heck I'd like to get rid of, and then Harry Reid, who's retiring.
Oh.
Yeah. There's good and bad, but I kind of like old Harry Reid.
Yeah. No, I wanted Harry Reid to do the rest of his final term in those sunglasses. He looked like a fucking badass. Like, my eyes are still busted. Yeah, whatever. All right. Fucking just call me Shades, like the fucking Luke Cage villain. Yeah, that's what I would have done. I would just walk around in sunglasses all the time, looking cool.
That's right. Yeah. Harry Reid, total badass.
Yeah, exactly. No, nobody's more of a lion of the Senate than Harry Reid. So yeah, the Jesta vote was just ridiculous, and I love that they tried to put it on Obama. Like, that's a classic Republican move. It's Obama's fault. But you voted for it. Yeah, I know we fucked up, but you gotta blame the black guy. Come on, guys. This is what we do.
It was obviously his fault. You should have vetoed harder.
Yeah. Why didn't you double veto it? That's not a thing.
Triple veto? Can you veto it again?
Please? We need your help. We'll give you the power. Just please do
so it. Now they got to override a veto, which is all they've really wanted in their life. So you snuck one in. Good for you there, Mitch McConnell.
And now you're going to have to override your own override because you fucked up so badly.
I fucking hate that guy.
Yes. All right, let's move on. This is a huge story of the week, but still not the biggest. So we talked a bit. You had mentioned you had forgotten the guy's name, and then you came back the following week and talked about Robert Mercer a little bit. And you talked about Kellyanne Conway working for him and Steve Bannon, who is Trump's CEO of his campaign, whatever the fuck that means. It's just a made-up job, who also runs Breitbart.com. You had mentioned that they were basically bankrolled by Robert Mercer. And so we were talking about, like, oh, who's Robert Mercer? Well, there was a massive article that came out just this past week from Time Magazine going pretty in depth about Robert Mercer. And if you want to pay $2.99 to read it, you can. It was free for a bit, but it's now not free. But there's also a New York Times article about Robert Mercer that came out a couple weeks ago as well, that does a pretty good job. So basically,
how great is it, by the way, that like all the journalism, like the real tough journalism, is Newsweek and Time. You forgot about us, didn't you?
Yeah, look, and to credit New York Times, they're fucking coming out fucking balls to the wall, too. I mean, obviously, the biggest story this week is from the Times. But yeah, Newsweek and Time Magazine have been fucking swinging for the fences, man. Like, they're like, oh, all of these, you remember how all of this other shitty, fake-ass news is on TV? We got real journalists working here. And look, to their credit, they're doing an excellent fucking job. It's like real journalism. It is awesome to read. It really is. I miss it.
Brief side note, by the way. Yeah. Totally coincidentally, and probably had nothing to do with anything, Newsweek's website got hacked and crashed this week by the Russians. Probably has nothing to do with anything.
Yep. Best not to even mention it, really.
So, this Time Magazine article, they went...
Fucking ridiculous.
Just gonna keep pointing out every time some weird shit happens with the Russians. Like, is this a problem? Do you think this is a problem? No? Okay, fine.
But by the way, it's not a story on the docket. This is the one I had to ignore. But the reason why the Newsweek hacking likely happened is because that same writer, Kurt Echenwald, who did that big story about Trump and, you know, all his money connections a couple weeks ago that we did, that same guy wrote an article about how Trump basically was doing work in Cuba during the embargo. And so all of a sudden, like the day after that came out, Newsweek gets hacked. And I follow Kurt Echenwald on Twitter, and he's like, yeah, most of the IPs from the hack were from Russia. Yeah, just so you know. Like, not saying anything, just saying.
Yeah, and that's not a huge... I mean, that's, you know, it sounds odd to us, or like, oh, it violated the embargo. That's not good. But that's a huge deal in Florida.
Oh, yeah. No, it's... like,
I think I heard like 74% of the Republicans in Southern Florida are Cuban American.
Yeah, no,
and that's a
absolutely
huge deal to them. Like Marco Rubio decided to wander out and go, "Hey, wait a fucking minute."
Yep, and he was quiet. So, he was quiet for a long time, and even he was like, "I fucking told you, dude. I told you." And you know, I love that statement.
That legit could cost him Florida.
Good. Good.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine.
Totally fine.
So Time Magazine went deep on Robert Mercer. And if you could find this article, because we don't know a ton about the guy, but because he never talks. He's like the public face of the Mercers is his daughter, who, you know, like they bankrolled the Republican convention, as it turns out. And they've been placing all of their people in the Trump campaign. The other one is that dude David Bossie,
yeah,
whose entire political career has been trying to get dirt on the Clintons, like going back to like the 90s when he was going around Arkansas trying to dig up dirt on Bill Clinton, like while he was running for president.
Yeah, he's got a fucking bug up his ass for the Clintons, man. Like, seriously,
he's literally made a whole career out of it. So have you ever heard of Citizens United?
Of course, of course.
That was David Bossie.
Yep.
Now he's like, whatever, the lieutenant CEO something.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Fucking garbage bag human that he's hired.
Whatever the meaningless titles there are in the Trump campaign. The Brigadier General, whatever the fuck. So yeah, David Bossie's another one of these Mercer people. So they went in deep on Robert Mercer. So he's actually kind of a brilliant guy.
Yeah, super smart dude.
Yeah, he figured out, like, we touched on a little bit because we talked about the taxes on trading like this, but these little microtransactions. He figured out these computer programs where they're basically trading constantly at, you know, and they're doing like literally thousands, millions of trades a day.
Well,
it's tiny little beep, 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 beep.
Yeah,
beep,
it's like it's tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of transactions per second. Like, it's insanely fast.
Yeah, and so if you're just a guy going, I would like to get to the stock market, buy low, sell high. There's computers that are trading a million miles faster than you could ever even dream of. And so his problem is that's not taxed at a level. Like, if they actually said, okay, we're texting, if they taxed, I don't know, a tenth of a penny for every transaction, we're talking millions of dollars. Well, and anytime anybody's tried to raise taxes in any way that would affect him, he goes after them, like, hard. Like I said, he backs up Breitbart. I don't even think he actually believes any of the crazy shit that...
No, he doesn't. No, I mean, but that was the interesting thing about that Time article and this New York Times article, is he's not a true believer in, like, quote-unquote conservative politics. Like, he doesn't give a fuck. Like, so he Mercer backed Ted Cruz for president, and it's like, oh, well, he must be, like, a real ideologue, like a fucking Jesus guy. No, dude, he's not. He solely backed him because he thought he had the best chance of winning and that he would kill this federal trade tax idea that Hillary Clinton and Martin O'Malley and Bernie Sanders all want to implement, right? So he was like, I need a guy in there who's not going to fucking do this. That's it. That's my sole thing. He doesn't give a shit about Republicans or any of their, like, oh, but we love Jesus and, like, don't show boobies. And he doesn't give a fuck about any of that. He's a money guy. Like, that's his
own
thing.
He goes after other Republicans. Like, he was the money behind, I can't remember her name, who primaried against John McCain.
Yeah.
Who ended up losing, because it's tough to... John McCain's still very, very respected amongst Arizona Republicans, and it's pretty tough to take him down, but they tried. They tried. And so if you even breathe a word of, well, maybe we could raise taxes, he's going after you. So the biggest, you know... The biggest person to come along that threatens him is now Hillary Clinton. So he's going after her hard, which is why they bankrolled the RNC, which is why they are now the number one donor to the Trump campaign.
Yep.
Which is why all of their little operatives are placed throughout the Trump campaign. And Trump, for all of his, I'm rich, I can't be bought.
Bullshit.
The second somebody comes along with some money...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do whatever you want.
I mean, and that's the great thing about this, right? It does, true, and I'm glad you made that point. Like, it really does break that whole bullshit argument about how he has been funding his own thing and he's an independent and he doesn't have to listen to anybody and he just does what he wants. That is 100% not true. Robert Mercer pulls the fucking strings in this goddamn campaign. He absolutely does.
All the
does.
Way down to the Mike Pence pick.
Yeah.
Like, that was their idea, was we'll get the Christian conservatives. He's with us on the tax stuff. Like, there is nothing Trump has done since Robert Mercer showed up has not been approved by Robert Mercer.
Yep. And it's interesting. Like, and this guy, just to give you a little bit of an understanding, like, this guy invested $10 million in Breitbart. He invested $13 million in Ted Cruz. He's the reason, he's the actual fucking reason, you know, we were talking about, like, oh, I wonder why Ted Cruz came back. Mercer is the reason why Ted Cruz endorsed Trump.
Oh, that's fucking hilarious.
Yes.
Ted Cruz, the principled conservative, as soon as his money man said, hey, we need to go ahead and endorse Donald Trump there. And Ted Cruz, rather than saying, go fuck yourself, said, okay. Yes, sir, Mr. Mercer.
Yep. Yeah, because he said, you know, they talked about the Mercers, Robert Mercer and his daughter, I can't remember her name. I think it's Catherine, maybe? They basically came out, and they don't do public statements almost ever. But they came out and said, quote, they were profoundly disappointed in Ted Cruz for not endorsing Trump at the RNC. And when they finally came out and said that shit, that's when he was like, oh, okay, maybe I messed up. And they basically leaned on him and said, look, you're gonna, if you want any more money in the future, in case Trump doesn't win and you want to run again, if you want any of our fucking nickels, you better get your ass up there and you better play ball. And he did. So when Trump says, oh, you know, all these other people play ball when you give them money, you know, they all come and they kiss my ass and all this other stuff. Dude, you do it too. That's the thing, is he's not wrong about the other politicians, but he is no different than them. He's exactly the same way as them. And it's even scarier because it's one guy pulling the strings. It's not a bunch of companies pulling your strings where you might be like, oh, you might get something halfway decent out of it. No, it's one guy with a sole purpose of getting his agenda through. So what's also interesting is, like, the article I linked deals with, like, his family and, like, they're basically their control over the entire Republican Party at this point. And, like, this guy has more money than God, right? He spent $2.7 million, and I don't give a fuck that he spent the money on it. I just find it interesting. Like, he spent $2.7 million on a model train set to have built at his house and then sued the guy for not doing it right.
He's got the Terminator's gun from Terminator.
Yeah, dude, I saw that. That was a fucking awesome little part of that story. Yeah, he's like, he co-owns like some company like that does like buys collector guns and shit, and he has the fucking gun from the Terminator, like from fucking Terminator 2 that Arnold Schwarzenegger used, like when he was on the bike that he like that fucking rifle that he cocks or whatever. He has it. This guy's an evil person. I should have that gun. That's awesome.
Rebecca Mercer, by the way, is his daughter. Yes. And she's the much more like public face of it.
Yes.
He's never even like given an interview to talk about his politics. Because nope. Like we said, his politics are basically non-existent. But he's like bankrolling the alt-right, all of this. He's stoking the fires for all of this shit that would... It would have just been like some like little counterculture thing on a Stormfront message board. But now it's like legitimately white nationalism is mainstream politics right now.
Yep. Because of this guy. And that's the funny thing is it's not because he actually believes it. It's because it financially benefits him. And that's even scarier to me.
It's because he can get these assholes to go out and vote. Yeah. And so he'll stoke the fire for whatever they believe as long as they go vote to shoot down his taxes.
Yep. Now, okay, so here's the thing. So, you know, there's like he gave money to the Cato Institute, the Club for Growth, $13 million to Ted Cruz, several millions of dollars to the Trump campaign, $10 million to Breitbart. He spent all this money. It's like, wow, this guy's like really spending money. So how, you know, in business, you got to spend money to make money, right? So it's like, well, he's spending hundreds of millions of dollars or maybe tens of millions of dollars on these guys. Well, how much is he getting in return? Well, they estimate that he would have to pay $7 billion on this federal trade tax because he's a hedge fund owner. So with all those like microtransactions that he does, he would have to end up the taxes on that. If Hillary's tax law got put into place, he would end up paying $7 to $8 billion a year. Well, or not a year, but I think it's $7 to $8 billion over 10 years. So this guy has saved himself billions of dollars. That's why he doesn't give a fuck to give $13 million to Ted Cruz. Who cares? What's $13 million?
His company, Renaissance Technologies, is worth $65 billion.
There you go.
Yeah, it's really interesting with it because I remember, was it last year or the year before? I don't know. Rachel Maddow decided to go through and do the math on the Koch brothers to try to figure out, because they spend literally hundreds of millions of dollars trying to get their shit through, right?
Yep.
Like, they bought every Republican in the state of Kansas. And it's going really well.
Sadly, it is.
But she actually went through and did the math on, like, how are you spending, like, hundreds of millions of dollars and saving money? And they've, because of the taxes that they've gone through, they've managed to save, like, $3 point something billion. Like, there's real good reason for these guys to get into that. But they fuck up the whole country just so they can make a little bit more money. It's so ridiculous. Yep.
Absolutely. That's what's so fucking interesting about this guy is he has no moral center. It's just money.
Yeah. His one belief is I don't want to pay taxes, which you'd think there would be some other way to do that rather than completely fucking up the entire country.
Yeah, but not in his world. Mercer's an interesting guy, and you should read the articles about him and stuff like that. Because like people are concentrating on the Koch brothers or Sheldon Adelson. No, dude, this guy's the real fucking deal. This guy's the real deal.
They're small potatoes compared to this dude. And he's only come up in politics in like the Koch brothers and Sheldon Adelson have been around forever. This guy's only come up like since the Citizens United decision. and he's the Mr. Super PAC now.
Yep.
Like you can donate unlimited money to these super PACs because you can't obviously donate millions and millions of dollars to an individual candidate. What's the limit? Like 2,700 or something?
2,600, I think.
Yeah. So he's benefited more from the super PAC thing than he's donated to 29 different super PACs to get whatever shit he wants done.
Yep.
So all these these principled conservatives that are out voting for Jesus, they're working for Robert Mercer.
That's right. You're getting fucking schooled, man. And look, if you're a Republican and you're listening, I can't imagine why you would be, but if you are Republican, like, you should be against this because you're being manipulated. Vote for what you want to vote for, but realize that the only reason why Breitbart and Kellyanne Conway and Steve Bannon and all of these guys are getting pushed up is not because they believe in Jesus and blah, 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 all that shit. They don't believe in any of that. This guy believes in money. It is all about how much of the tax code can he dodge to get what he wants, which is he needs a couple more fucking shekels in his fucking pouch. That's what he wants. So he's willing to destroy the country over it. It's fucking amazing.
I don't know. Maybe it's just because I look through everything from a liberal lens. But is this not the most clear, like, villain ever?
Right.
How can anyone objectively look at this and go, oh, wait, you're the devil?
Yeah, no, this is it. This is the guy. This is the guy. Like, he should play the devil in Devil's Advocate 2, The Return of Keanu Reeves. Like,
yes.
It's just...
He looks like an 80s movie villain, too.
He actually kind of, yeah, he kind of does, actually. Like, this guy's definitely corrupt. But I just don't get how Republicans don't find this guy to be a problem. And I figured it's because they just don't know. Oh, well, he's a smart guy. He's a billionaire. He must be a genius. Like, this guy is super bright. He's been able to take his mathematician nerd brain and use it in conservative politics to fucking play the entire field of you.
He's literally an evil genius.
Yeah, he kind of is. It's amazing. But yeah, you should make sure you check the show notes. You should absolutely read up on this guy. It's really super fascinating. Like, he's a fascinating guy. And he owns like a crazy big yacht that he calls the Sea Owl, which is kind of interesting.
He's a fucking living James Bond villain.
Yeah, he is. He's the man with the golden boat. Like, it's amazing. So just quickly, about, and this is also in the show notes, about the FTT, which is the financial transaction tax. Hillary Clinton has something on her website about it, but there's no talk of what the rate will be exactly. But a lot of economists think that it's going to be 0.03%, which is considered 3 basis points if you read that. But they're thinking it's going to be 0.04%. So that's a 0.04% tax on every financial transaction, right? So basically that would generate, I believe they said something like 0.4% of the GDP. Or if it's done correctly, it could generate approximately $75 billion in 2017 that could be used for roads and education and things like that. Like, oh, we can't ever pay for anything. Yes, we fucking can. It's right there. The money is fucking right there.
Money's absolutely there.
Right.
You just have to have somebody with the balls to do it.
And or someone without.
Yeah,
balls.
Ironically, that's Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Because look. This is not something Obama ever pushed for. This is something he absolutely should have done in his second term. I'd have been like, fuck you. Riding high, bitch. Like, just fucking go for it. But if they get control of the Senate, they might be able to pull this one off.
This is why I got on board with Hillary early, is Obama, I think, was just a little too idealistic.
He was.
And Hillary Clinton has some fucking dirt under her fingernails, for sure. But I think she's going to be able to accomplish more. And you try to figure out what's the motivation of people in politics, right? Donald Trump, clear as day, money. He wants to get, like, look at his tax plans. It's, I can make more money. I can make more money in my business. I need to loosen regulations so I can do more shady shit in business. And usually you would just buy off a politician, but he's an egomaniac and he decided he's going to run his fucking self. And it's working. I can't really fault him for it. But I think Hillary Clinton is so much more concerned with, like, legacy.
Yes.
With, like, she wants to be the one that came in. She wants to be looked upon like liberals look at FDR, right? And if she came through and was able to, like, legitimately make these people pay their fair share of taxes and close these loopholes and get more money for the country, and then they are able to do infrastructure spending and fix the schools and all that. Like, yes, she gets to be the hero that saved the day, and that's probably her motivation for it. And, you know, and everyone will go, oh my God, Hillary Clinton was the greatest president of all time.
In that exact voice.
Yeah. While making a hand jerking off motion.
Yes.
But
look, and that's fine. That's totally fine. But I think you're absolutely correct. I think she is very concerned about legacy.
Yeah. Like, if she would have just, like, left the State Department and just went and gave paid speeches for the rest of her life till her and Bill died, then they would kind of be like, ah, yeah, they did some good, but this, this, and this. I think she would much rather come through and be like, I saved the country.
Yeah. Like, look, I mean, there is that moment where you go, you kind of do want a little bit of an intelligent person who's an egomaniac for power for us. You know, in a weird way, I know that sounds crazy, but you do kind of want a fucking bulldog. You do, because look, the world is getting a little fucking insane, as we'll talk about in worldwide stories this week, but you're gonna need somebody who's gonna say, like, oh, that's cool, yeah, you're, you know, it's that's a nice Wall Street you have there. It's it'd be a real shame if somebody came and taxed the fuck out of it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you need somebody like that. And if she could get the FTT passed at a reasonable rate that doesn't fuck with, you know, this article was really funny because it's Forbes, right? So, you know, it's fucking Steve Forbes's magazine. And, you know, it's definitely more conservative. And I like reading Forbes because it's conservative. It's financially conservative without, like, the crazy, like, and then Hillary Clinton killed Vince Foster type of shit. So, like,
it's not Drudge.
Yeah, exactly. And so they are more financially conservative, which is an interesting perspective to read, right? Like, I feel like if you read them and you read, you know, maybe some financially liberal places, you kind of figure out somewhere in the middle. But
yeah. You got to check in on, like, Forbes and Wall Street Journal to see what the sane conservatives are saying.
Right, right. I may not agree with them, but at least I know they're not fucking batshit crazy. Right. And so basically Forbes is like, look, man, like, as long as you don't go too high, you know, you might stop. If you go too high with the FTT, then you'll basically turn people off to trading stocks. And I just started laughing. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? What? That's going to end? People are going to stop making money? Oh, they'll be so scared. They'll leave the country. Where are they going to go? No, they're going to stay here. Get the fuck out of here. They might bitch and complain about it.
I only made 97% as much money as I made before. I'm leaving.
Yeah, like, come on, man. See, that's like, that's how I know it's conservative. I'm like, shut up. Just shut the fuck up. Get out of my face. However, there is a line where it could possibly do some damage, right? So maybe people won't speculate as much and things like that, which is what they kind of hope. But then you don't want them to not speculate. You want them to speculate some, but not too much, because if they don't speculate enough, then you actually start to gain less revenue from the tax, right? So, like, there is an intelligent perspective to not do it at 99%, right? But that being said, there's a place to put this where they might get pissed, but they're still making plenty of fucking money, and we're making $75 billion that we can start to build up schools and roads and shit and fix bridges. So there is a middle ground there. And if she's able to pull it off, and you're right, she's got that fucking, like, my legacy. Like, she has that away about her. And I don't think it's necessarily my legacy, I must blow up North Korea. I don't think that is her legacy.
No.
Like, I think that, you know, someone like, I mean, no offense, but I think someone like John McCain would be much more apt to be like, I need to go kick ass in that part of the world. Where I think she would rather, I think she looks at her husband's legacy as being a tumultuous but largely successful domestic policy
record where she wants to come in and be like, she wants to be that fucking FDR. Where people talk about it, she was the first female president, and she was fucking amazing. That's what she wants. That's what she wants. And she's a fucking egomaniac enough to do it. And look, and
everybody who runs for president is an egomaniac.
Yeah.
There's nobody who honestly goes, you know who should be in charge of everything? Me.
Yeah.
That isn't like a little bit of an egomaniac.
I mean, look, I know people are like, oh, no, Bernie didn't have that kind of ego. Yes, he fucking does. Yes, he does.
Right, yeah. Bernie Sanders, who was standing in front of crowds of screaming kids, basically going, can you dig it? No ego on that guy at all.
Right, exactly. And that's okay. Like, yeah, Obama played it pretty fucking cool, but he has a massive ego. Like you said, who can fix all of these things? Me and only me. I am between you and the brink of destruction. Like, that's basically what that job is.
Like, you'd be insane not to think that, where he's like, yeah, I'm the junior senator in my second term. I should be the president right now. You sure you don't want to, like, go be a governor? Nope.
No, fuck Skipping that.
Skipping all that.
Yeah, I don't have time for that shit. Like, I have a binder full of minority drug dealers. I'm ready to move. Like, so, yeah, like, yeah. You have to have a level of ego. And if she uses that level of ego as a power for good to get, I mean, think about it. She would be regarded as one of the most influential presidents ever if she, from a domestic policy standpoint, if she got this done, started to rebuild infrastructure based on this money, and got in the public option for healthcare, that's it. She could basically coast the rest of the fucking 7 years. Because those are three huge accomplishments. Huge.
And we'd all be standing around going, remember when everybody was all like, oh, emails?
Yeah, no one will give a fuck. Oh, lesser two evils. Yeah, turned out this one was pretty fucking good. I mean, look, she's going to fuck up. She's going to have things. Not everything is going to go perfectly. Everyone knows that, of course. But let's get real. If she got this and they did a good job, unlike I think the Obama administration did in the beginning, where they bragged on the shit that they did, which was something that like the Bush administration, W's administration did so well, which was like, holy shit, look what we fucking did. Even when it was like nonsense. You know, like, if she's able to do that with real accomplishments like the FTT or getting the public option and things like that, look, man, you got to shut the fuck up. You got to eat that crow. You got to shut up and you got to eat it. So,
yeah, the Republicans have been rabidly against her and not just for no reason. Right. It's not just I don't like her. She's seriously going to fuck their shit up.
Yeah. If she gets the power and enough space in Congress to work. They're going to be in a world of trouble. They will. They're going to be in a world of fucking trouble.
And I think it's going to have to come quickly because you know how Democrats are in midterms, you assholes.
Yeah. Oh, so scared right now.
Yeah. So if we get President Clinton and a Democratic Senate, you're going to see this shit in the first 2 years without a doubt.
Yeah. No, because she's going to come out guns blazing. She's going to come out guns blazing and punching people in the teeth like she is. Oh, yeah. You remember how I won? Guess what now, motherfucker? Guess what's happening right now? Get the house together because we're coming. Like, and look, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. Like, I don't need you to go halfway across the stage and make sure they come halfway towards you. Fuck compromising. We did enough of that shit in Obama's first term and he got kicked in the ass and he learned what the fuck was up. And that's why in the second term, he went fucking balls to the wall and he kicked ass. Good. Compromise time is fucking over with. These guys are psychopaths. So it's not like, man, take out a fucking a lead pipe and a blowtorch and go to work on these guys. That's all I ask.
The other big thing that she's won, and she's stated this outright, and I know a lot of the far left are like, yeah, right, like she would do that. So Citizens United, she wants to get rid of that. And
This is the hardest thing for me to believe that she'll do. But go ahead.
Here's the thing. Okay, because she's benefiting from it for sure, right? To get into office. She's got her own super PACs. But that one's personal. Like, that's the most personal one. It was David Bossie, like, running a Hillary Clinton is a corrupt asshole the movie. And then that Citizens United decision, which has come down to bring us to this horrible place in politics where this, you know, Robert Mercer is the puppet master behind the entire Republican Party. Do you honestly think that Hillary Clinton doesn't want to get rid of that?
Yeah, that's a good point.
It'll be interesting. That is my hardest one to believe.
I know. And there's you have to believe that she wants to come in benefiting from it and then slam the door shut behind her.
It would be the ultimate fucking move, man. It would be,
right?
Look, I would have to say that if she did that, everything I've ever said about Hillary Clinton has been proven wrong. Everything. Because that is my biggest thing with her is, look, she is corrupt. She fucking is. It's fine. Like, it's not fine, but, like, it is what it is. Like, it is what it is. And, like, people are like, oh, she's super corrupt. But she's no more corrupt than fucking Obama was in the same way, right? In the same way. But if she goes in and slams the fucking door behind and says, fuck corporate money, dude, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's a devastating move, man. It's a devastating move.
But think about the legacy. I think she's enough of an egomaniac that she wants to be the person who said, yeah, I did that.
Yeah, like, you're convincing me. Like, no, because, like, there is, and it's solely on the fact that she's such a fucking asshole. Like,
dude, if I'm wrong, I will happily come on this show and eat crow. I will make an actual crow and eat it on the podcast. We can videotape it and put it on the website. But I honestly think that that's what she wants.
I could see it, though. Like,
yeah.
Look, I'm not all the way there yet. I'm still 97.3 on the fact that she's not going to do it. That being said, if she does it, I will too eat a crow sandwich with non-gluten-free bread. There is a part of me that totally understands that logic, though. Like, would she want to be the fucking FDR of the modern era? I think she kind of does.
And no, it's hard to believe, especially with all the negative shit out there. And so I understand if there's people that are rolling their eyes and going, go fuck yourself right now. But I seriously think she wants to be looked at historically, like where people are looking back, and go, well, that was Hillary Clinton. She was the greatest president ever.
I think she'd love that.
Of course.
Yeah, that's not a bad point, man. That's not a bad point. She's that fucking arrogant, though. Like, she is.
You just have to put your, like Obama's just too nice, man. We need our, like you said, we need to put a fucking bulldog.
Yeah.
And then she'll get to be like, I was the first lady president, and I fucked up all these. Do you think she honestly does not want all these David Bossy, fucking Robert Mercer people that have been a pain in her ass her entire life? Did you think she doesn't want to stick it to those people?
Yeah, that's a... God damn it, that's a good point.
Of course she does.
That's a good point.
She's vindictive as fuck. She's going to wreck their assholes.
I mean, it is kind of the greatest payback is, yeah, remember how I got in? That's funny. The door is fucking closed. Like, fuck! Can you imagine?
If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But how great would it be?
It would be, dude, it would be the most significant piece of legislation we've had since the New Deal. It literally would be. Because it would take a level of movement in this country. She would have to do something that was so, I don't know what it would be, but she would have to perform something so well received by both sides to garner enough goodwill in that moment to make something like that happen.
Oh, dude, I don't care if she's like there are Republicans who hate FDR. I don't care if she's looked at it like that.
No, I know that. What I'm saying is, in order to really deal with Citizens United, you need to have a constitutional amendment. You have to. Because you can't, because if it becomes a law and they're just going to pass a law when you leave to override it, right? So you have to make it a constitutional amendment. So you need to pull off some move that gives the country such a great feeling behind you that you go, now that everybody's on board, yeah, everybody loves Hillary Clinton, I know, I'm awesome, yeah, you guys love that, guess what we're doing now? Let's ride. Because you need 2/3 of the fucking state to get behind you. And dude, that's the problem.
That's the thing, though, about money in politics, or getting money out of politics.
Everyone hates it.
It's so popular. Like, bipartisan. What's the numbers?
It's over 70 or 80%.
Yeah. Everybody thinks that it's fucked up that people can just buy elections, right?
Yeah.
So if you actually put it to the people, no way you're not getting that through. Because everybody on both sides of the aisle thinks that it's fucked. Like, if you actually explain to a Republican, like, what Robert Mercer is doing, they would probably go, "Ah, wait a minute, this is all fucked up, right?"
Yeah. I mean, look, it would be something else, man. You just and have to, if, you have to get past
do anything, even if she doesn't do anything directly, you know she's going to load up the court with a bunch of little mini Ruth Bader Ginsburgs, right?
Of course. Of course. And look,
yeah, so,
look, you so once you own the court,
directly they're going to shoot shit down like that.
I mean, here's the thing. Once you own the court, you can basically just set it up to give the perfect trial to get it all the way to the Supreme Court and override Citizens United. You could do it that way too.
Oh yeah. I know you listened. Radiolab did a series called More Perfect, which is on the Supreme Court,
yep,
and how they will just pick out these weird ass cases to try to get something to try to get something to overturn a law or whatever. And a lot of times it's a weird fucked up case, but they'll send stuff through. And yeah, More Perfect. What was it? 10 parts, 8 parts, something like that?
I think 8 parts. And
highly recommend it.
Yes, it's a very, very good podcast. I can't wait for it to come back. But it is super interesting. That's a super interesting perspective. I got to tell you, I hadn't thought about that. But I'm still now in this conversation. I think I'm 90-10. I think I'm 90-10. But I do think you're right. I do think there is that fucking FDR legacy streak in her that she doesn't want to just be Bill's wife. She doesn't want to just be the first female president, and she doesn't want to just be the Democratic president after the first black president. I think she wants to go, Bill was awesome. Everybody liked Bill. Yeah, I know some fucking shady shit, whatever. Dick got his dick sucked and some other shit nobody approved of. Obama came in. He was a little too soft, but he got a lot of shit done, and we're really happy with him. Now it's my fucking turn. And I think her legacy wants to be there.
She's in a good position for it, too, because, like, generally we have, like, a Democrat coming in off a Republican, and you got a lot of shit to clean up when you get there, right? No more so than Obama. And so, like, people talk about, oh, it'd just be a third term of Obama. Okay, fine. Like, right. If he was able to have 4 more years to build on what he's already built, imagine where we'll be. That's what we're getting out of Hillary Clinton. And I understand. You're all rolling your eyes. You're all turning the podcast off and go fuck Andy in the face.
Well, I mean, yeah. Just fuck that guy. But no, I think it's a good point.
This is the point that she's starting. This is the jumping off point is off of 8 years of Obama. So if she gets in, like, she's already that far ahead of any other Democratic president who'll be coming in after a Republican.
Yeah, that's true. And she's a Clinton, right? And the Clintons know what the fuck they're doing in D.C. They just do. They know how to move. All right, let's move on because we got to, like, burn through some of this docket because we're on a time restraint this week because you have to go to work. Classic liberal.
Oh, great story. Holy shit, the New York Times did some journalism.
Yes, they did. So, turns out somebody from fucking Trump Tower, I don't know if you heard of this part, but someone from Trump Tower sent the New York Times this information.
I like to think it was a Hispanic maid.
Yes. Absolutely.
Fuck Mr. Trump. I'm going to fuck him so hard. He went after Alicia Machado.
I love that woman. So she's my favorite person on Telemundo. No lemon pledge. So apparently the document is from his 1995 tax return. And of course, he obviously hasn't released all of his other tax return, but oh, he done fucked up now. So apparently, he took a $916 million loss, which they refer to as a net operating loss, which, according to this article, is a dizzying array of deductions, business expenses, real estate depreciations, losses from the sale of business assets, and even operating losses to flow from the balance sheets of those partnerships, limited liabilities, and S corporations onto his personal tax returns, right? So I own TMP Studios, right? It's a company. And one of the things is you're allowed, because of the way our company is set up, is those deductions and things like that flow to my personal taxes, right? Because I'm the CEO. But he kept he kept his company as a limited liability and as an S corporation so that he could do that. Because if he was a C corporation at the time in 1995, he wouldn't have been able to do that. So he took all of these losses, these massive losses, and then dumped it onto his own personal tax return. Now, that's totally
like
legal.
When he's running casinos out of business and shit?
Yes.
And that's all reflecting on his personal taxes.
Right, because he basically, it says that in the report, he lost, at this time, he lost $25.5 million from the Trump Taj Mahal casino. He lost another $43.5 million from the Trump Castle casino. And then he lost $34.5 million from Trump Shuttle, his failed airlines. All together, okay? So that and a bunch of other shit. This motherfucker lost all of that money, and then he reported interest income in 1995 of $7.4 million. But then he only made, according to his tax return, he only made $6,108 in wages, salaries, and tips. That's all he made.
It was a rough year.
Pretty rough for old Donald.
By the way, brief side note, did you ever hear the story when he launched his airline about how he wanted everything to be gold and marble and he had to have like somebody come explain to him that it wouldn't fly?
Yeah, because it was like the fucking spruce moose, you fucking idiot.
I want marble everywhere. Like, it has to fly, you moron.
It's not a fucking car. Yeah, no, but you know the really funny thing about the casinos? I don't know if you ever heard this. But the reason why the casinos were doing bad in Atlantic City was not because he was necessarily poor at managing them, but because he bought three of them and he cannibalized them. So they were all losing money because he had three fucking casinos in the same town.
Like, yeah, he was competing against himself.
Yeah, you idiot. No one buys three casinos in the same fucking little area. Do it in Vegas at least. There's a ton of fucking competition.
Yeah, put one in Vegas, put one in Reno, put one in Atlantic City.
No, not him. All of them in Atlantic City.
Moron.
Hey, guess what? You didn't make any money, and they lost millions of dollars.
He's like the world's, like...
worst businessman? Like, even I know that.
He's like the dumbest smart guy, or the smartest dumb guy, let's say.
Dumbest smart guy, I think.
All right, he's the dumbest smart guy.
Yeah, he's not the smartest dumb guy. Well, I don't even know anymore. I don't even know. I think I'm confused.
He's a fucking hillbilly with money. He's the...
Yeah, he is. I went and bought myself a new tractor. Nah, fuck, I bought three of them. I'm going to race all three at the same time.
I want everything made out of gold.
Gold tractors. Everywhere.
Including my hair.
He's a fucking dummy. So, interestingly enough, so he writes off the $916 million net operating loss, right? This is a fucking massive amount of money. In the article, it goes on to say that under IRS rules in 1995, net operating losses could be used to wipe out taxable income earned in the 3 years before you filed that massive loss and 15 years after that loss, right? So that's why the New York article basically is saying that because the loss was so big, any money that he made became that taxable income became wiped out for the next 18 fucking years. Because 3 years prior to 1995, he would have gotten money back from that, and then he would have paid zero taxes for the next 15 years because he didn't make enough money to pass the $916 million.
Which means this freeloading welfare queen hasn't paid taxes in 18 years.
Yeah, he didn't have to start paying until 2010.
That makes me smart.
Yeah, and it makes everyone else dumb, apparently. Also, let's think about this. That means he didn't make enough money. He didn't make enough money to cover the $916 million, which means he doesn't have $1 billion. That's what that says to me. He didn't make $1 billion in that fucking time frame. On the books, he didn't make $1 billion. He didn't make a fucking $1 billion. And he's like, oh, I'm so rich. Oh, I don't know what happened. Oh. He didn't make a fucking $1 billion. He didn't. Not legally. Not legally, according to this. According to the fucking basic logic of human numbers, he didn't make $1 billion fucking dollars. God damn it. That's amazing to me.
But he's such a good businessman.
He's fucking genius. Fucking, I got the best words. The best understanding of tax code. Best understanding.
But also, so there's
that's
another...
Why, by the way, that explains why he's been nickel and diming everybody.
That's right. Thank you. That's exactly the fucking point.
Coming up with fake universities and fucking water bottles and...
Right. Like, you, if you're worth...
An at-home mail order steak company, like, what rich person...
Thank you. You, thank you. If you're worth $10 billion, why are you worried about trying to make steaks a thing? Why? That's a get-out-of-jail-free card scam bullshit.
Yeah, Mark Cuban's not out on the corner fucking hustling people in three-card money, which is essentially what Donald Trump has been doing
right
for the last 20 years.
No, 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 dude. No, no, pick a card. Go ahead. I dare you. I dare you. I mean... these are the best cards.
You lose, you lose, I win.
Yeah. Like, yeah, if you really thought that he was that rich, why is he nickeling and diming people? Why? What the fuck is the reason? Because he doesn't have the money. So speaking of the money, more about the money. This is super interesting, and we're going to move on. There, in the article, they talk to his accountant, Mr. Metnick, who is a he works for a small Long Island accounting firm that specializes in handling tax issues for wealthy New York real estate families, right?
Your people are very good with money.
Yeah, it's probably a Jew. Think about it.
He literally fucking said that at the...
Yeah, no, you guys are great negotiators. Great negotiators.
Like at the Israel conference?
Yep.
Your people are very good with money. I like your little hats.
Come on. Come on. Would I trick you? Would I say anything mean? No. You guys make a mean bagel. I'll tell you that. Like, oh, fuck
I love lox.
I love it.
I eat at Cantor's all the time.
I love Cat's Deli. I love it. So Mr. Metnick, his accountant, says he gets interviewed and he's like, "Look, I've been working for Trump's father, Fred C. Trump, known KKK member. And I started handling Donald Trump's taxes back when he was 18.
That's not real.
Isn't it? Isn't it real?
No, Snope shit.
I'm going with it. Anyway, so Mr. Metnick says that, look, he can't divulge Trump's details of his finances. But what he can say is that he did talk about Mr. Trump's approach to taxes. And he... He basically contrasted it against his father's knowledge about taxes. He says, Fred Trump's attention to detail with what he described as... Fred Trump's had a real attention to detail contrasted to Donald Trump's, quote, brash and undisciplined style. He recalled, for example, that when Donald and Ivana Trump came in each year to sign their tax forms, it was almost always Ivana who asked more questions. And the final line from this story, which I thought was fucking devastating, this is also from Metnick. He says, quote, here the guy was building incredible net worth and not paying taxes on it. Like, he's telling you, this guy who deals with his fucking money is like, I'm not gonna be paying taxes on this shit. Look, and this is what I do for a living. Like, this motherfucker is shady. They don't pay taxes on it. Period. Gotcha.
How the fuck does anyone who like works for the public sector, like cops, firefighters, soldiers, any of these people, how are any of them going, yeah, Trump, that's my guy. He didn't pay you.
Yeah, he
fucked
dodged
you
it.
Over.
Yeah, he dodged it.
The undocumented immigrants he wants to throw out of the country, all of them individually, have paid more taxes than he has in the last 20 years.
Yep, easily.
They're bigger contributors to society than he is.
Yep. and they're pretty sure he didn't donate a single dollar to charity during that time frame.
Of course he didn't.
I mean, in fairness, neither would I. Fuck poor people, am I right? Anyway.
I donate to Human Rights Campaign.
Fucking gay. helping people. Super lame. Oh, I called Easter SEALs this week. Shut up. Being American. So
I can't wait for you to set up your own foundation. Dude, I get giant paintings of yourself made.
Who says I don't already do that? The fucking TNP for, you know, like Jay's tots, right? Like Scott's tots from fucking The Office. Yeah, no, I'm helping out little kids. I'm going to send them to college. Yeah. Give me money. Oh, it's time for us to go to college. Yeah, I don't know. Bye. Gotta go. foreign policy this week. This is super interesting. Remember how Gary Johnson didn't know what Aleppo was? Yeah, turns out he might want to figure it the fuck out. Because
what is Aleppo?
U.S. officials say Russia probably did an airstrike on a UN humanitarian convoy. This is really fucking sad, actually. There was a humanitarian convoy going through Syria in Aleppo, I believe, and 18 of the 31 trucks in the convoy were destroyed. They were carrying a number of people, obviously. They were carrying 9 tons of medical supplies, clothes for 78,000 people. Like, I mean, it was really fucking tragic.
This was during the ceasefire, too.
Yes, the tail end of the ceasefire, which basically...
This is the end of the ceasefire.
Yeah. Shocking news.
This is what ended it.
Yeah. And it was only 5 days. Is that correct?
Yeah. They'd spent all this time negotiating a ceasefire, and then they did. And so then the UN sends in this... they're like, all right, we're under a ceasefire. Time to send in this humanitarian convoy. Right? Because it's a ceasefire. And we're good. No problems. Like, nobody's got planes other than, you know, the U.S. and the Russians. So what's going to happen?
Kablooey. The fucking Russians hit it. Good job.
They bombed this this humanitarian aid convoy, which they really fucking need. You've probably seen a lot of pictures and footage and whatnot coming out of Aleppo. The situation's fucked. And they destroyed a UN humanitarian convoy. And they're denying it, but who the fuck else has planes?
It was the U.S. They forgot they sent it up. Like, come on, man, you idiot.
ISIS doesn't have planes?
Not yet. Not until fucking Hillary Clinton becomes president. I'll tell you that. Whatever the fuck that means. Yeah, so this is a thing, man. This is a fucking thing.
Yeah, so there's, like, people throwing around, like, war crimes. Like, this... Anyway, these are the people meddling in our election.
Yep. Good job, everybody. Good job, Russia.
Strong leader. He's got high approval rating.
85%. It's pretty good. It wouldn't be that high unless he was really great or a fucking dictator.
Or if he owns the media.
Look, again, you're saying a lot of things that are false and I feel like are unfair to Vladimir Putin. So...
Vladimir Putin is a fucking dictator shithead.
Yeah, you can say it. You can say that just because you're living in your cushy fucking American life, not out in Russia where it's a hellscape. That's right.
Do you know every one of the like local governors that are that like work over the you know the individual regions of Russia? They're all just Putin's bodyguards and dudes he knows.
Yep.
Like he took away.
They're mini strongmen.
Yeah. They're like there's no. Local elections. He took all of that away and implemented his own people. And so there's like a guy who was just like a bodyguard and like a former soldier who's now the governor of your region.
Yeah.
Because he's loyal to Putin.
Yeah, that seems yep, totally fine. Totally fine.
Russia is fucked, man.
Yeah, I the entire thing is a fucking nightmare. Have you ever watched You should check this out this week. Winter on Fire, the Ukraine fight for freedom. It's a Netflix documentary.
No.
Check that out this week when you get a chance. Not to be seen sitting with your kid. It's one of the most violent fucking documentaries I've ever seen. But it's just about Russia's takeover of the Ukraine. It's fucking unreal what they did. It's unreal. And it speaks to that whole strongman idea of him just putting people in place. But you should. It's called Winter on Fire. And if you're listening and you haven't watched it, I think I actually may rewatch it. It's a hell of a documentary. Like it's a hell of a fucking documentary, and it's just intense, man. It's super intense. All right. Next up, this is kind of fucked up. So the new president of the Philippines, or dictator, as I like to refer to him, you know, we often talk about people like, oh, this person seems like Adolf Hitler. No, this guy literally compared himself to Adolf Hitler. He said his name is Rodrigo Duarte. I always find it funny that Filipinos have Spanish names. but he basically said, quote, not basically, this is exactly his quote. Hitler massacred 3 million Jews. Now there's 3 million. There's 3 million drug addicts. There are. I'd be happy to slaughter them. By the way, Hitler killed 6 million Jews. But, I mean, this guy only, he gave Hitler the benefit of the doubt by 3 million. But he wants to kill all of the drug addicts in the Philippines. All of them.
And it's happening. Like, yes. The police are out there doing it. And they're allowing, like, vigilantes to do this. And what's the number? Over
3,500
people have been killed.
Yep. Many in extrajudicial slaying. So, basically, outside of the law. Yeah.
And if you can, so that's like a legal thing you can do now in the Philippines. Like, oh, that guy was a drug dealer, so I shot him. And
or a drug addict.
Right. Yeah. Just on drugs.
Yep. So one of the other things about this article that I think may be worth digging into is maybe a topic we talk a little bit about in depth next week, which is now he's talking about, like, you know, the Philippines and the U.S. have a really, like, a relatively tight bond because we have a bunch of military bases there and we use them to check China and all this other stuff. But now, you know, this guy is basically saying, like, fuck the U.S. He called Obama a son of a bitch recently and all this other shit. And now he's saying that he wants to have tighter relations with Russia and China. So that's a good thing because now I'm sure they won't have a problem with him doing terrible shit to his own people because they don't give a fuck to do terrible shit to their own people in China and Russia. So that's not a good sign.
Yeah, and that's happening, like, Philippines is not that far away.
No, that's happening right now. All right, this week in Stupid. Did you do the thing that you said you were going to do?
I didn't get my vocal talent on that yet.
Damn it. All right, that's fine. Look, I'm sure we'll have something for next week. So this week in Stupid, oh boy. Gary Johnson was on with Chris Matthews, and him and his running mate, which I can't even remember his running mate's name.
Bill Weld.
Bill Weld, thank you.
Bill Weld, who, by the way, said, there's nobody more qualified to be the president than Hillary Clinton.
Well, you know what? He's fucking right.
They had asked him about qualifications, and he just said it as an aside. He's like, well, I mean, no one's more qualified than Hillary Clinton. But
vote for Gary Johnson, everybody. So Chris Matthews says to him, hey, so, you know, what, can you name for me a foreign leader that you respect? He's like, anywhere, any continent, Canada, Mexico, Europe, over there, Asia, South America, Africa, name a foreign leader that you respect. Johnson says, quote, I guess I'm having an Aleppo moment in the former president of Mexico. Matthews says, but I'm giving you the whole world. Johnson, I know, Matthews, but I'm giving you the whole world. Anybody in the world you like, anybody, pick any leader. Johnson, the former president of Mexico. Matthews, which one? Johnson, I'm having a brain, I guess he was going to say fart, and he couldn't come up with one. He couldn't come up with a fucking world leader that he respects.
All right, in fairness to Gary Johnson.
No. I do not allow this. No.
Okay, so Chris Matthews is an asshole.
Yes, that's true.
He's totally setting up for a gotcha question.
Is it, though? What? Is it? Name a foreign leader you respect.
Who's more in the tank for Hillary Clinton than Chris Matthews?
No, like, I understand that. But it's not like he has to fend off Gary Johnson.
No, I know, but he. I believe that Chris Matthews wanted to humiliate Gary Johnson.
That's probably true.
Gary Johnson did himself no favors because, like, name somebody. You were in New Mexico. You should be able to name the president of Mexico since you shared a border for a while.
How about this? Just say Justin Trudeau. Just say Justin Trudeau.
Well, he can't say that. He's a libertarian.
I know. Just say it anyway. Say any fucking name, dude. Any name.
Everybody likes that guy.
But the funny thing is, Bill Wells like, Merkel? He's like, all right. Chris Matthews, the master of the follow-up question. All right. Yeah, you name one. Good. All right, let's move on.
What?
Bill Weld had to bail him out. He's like, I don't know, Nieto, Fox, Calderon. Fox, I like Fox.
Yeah, like, but the funny thing is, Fox isn't even the current president.
No, he said former.
Yeah, no, I know. But I thought he said, who is a current leader that you like?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Like, come on, man. God damn it. But the funny thing is, my whole thing is, they said Merkel. And Chris Matthews is like, all right, yeah, all right. You nailed it. But here's a follow-up question. Why? Why do you respect Merkel? Why? Why?
Because she was in the news and I could name her.
Thank you. That's what the fuck is the only reason why he said Merkel. It's the only reason. Like, I could name Merkel and say, well, look, she was very good. She's done very good as far as protecting the financial state of Germany. She's done an excellent job in that. But other than that, she's kind of a shitbag. She's kind of a shitbag person. She is, dude. She fucking is. Like, come on. God damn it. It's ridiculous.
I would have immediately said Justin Trudeau.
Yes.
Not just because he's the first one I could think of, because he's really hot and liberal. Like,
look, you could just be like, I think he's a handsome guy. He's very liberal. And what he was doing to greet the Syrian refugees, I thought was remarkable. And him.
And I kind of want to fuck him.
Yeah.
And look, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Just Johnson, just get out there and say it. Like, look, man, I'm high right now and I kind of want to bang Justin Trudeau. And look, I got to tell you, man. I fucking waked and baked this morning. It was kind of awesome. But I do think, you know, Bill Maher made a great point. He was like, look, I think that Gary Johnson is giving weed a bad name. Like,
yeah, the guy who's supposed to be your champion for legal marijuana should not be the guy who has smoked the most marijuana.
No. Like, you got to give that to Bernie Sanders, somebody who's probably never done it or did it one or two times, but is still not retarded. Gary Johnson has smoked himself for
Bernie smoked. I guarantee Bernie smoked a shit ton of pot back in the 60s and 70s.
Oh, that's
he
true.
Hasn't
that's true.
In a while. He's not like.
Gary Johnson is fucking token up before he goes on MSNBC every week.
Gary Johnson has bong water sloshing around in his brain.
Yes. That's exactly why how his brain is floating in his stupid, stupid head. Jesus, dude. You are a fucking idiot.
How the fuck? Millennials, you're disappointing me.
Yeah. How do you go from fucking Bernie Sanders to what is Aleppo?
All right. Just him aside, ideologies. Is there anything more opposite than socialism and libertarianism?
No. It fucking isn't. He wants to get rid of the minimum wage. He wants to fucking get rid of healthcare.
Yeah. If you put every political ideology on a wheel, those are like. That's like 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
There's you don't get much further away. Yes, everything that you claim to stand for, you know, taxing the wealthy, that's gone. Paying for, you know, college and healthcare, no fucking way. Not under libertarian. The only thing is weed and non-intervention, I guess.
Yeah. Or the big one. I don't like Hillary. Why?
Oh,
I don't
yeah,
know
no,
why. Look, there are plenty of things I didn't like about Hillary, and there's still plenty of things I don't like about her. But when it was the primaries, if somebody asked me why I was voting for Bernie Sanders over Hillary, I could fucking explain myself besides emotion and say, look, here are some policy things that I do agree or don't agree with. But I'm not going to be like, oh, she's mean. She's shrill. Answer the fucking question with actual facts.
The best thing that Gary Johnson has going for him is he is both not Hillary Clinton and not Donald Trump.
That's literally it.
And that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
There are some actual libertarians who are behind this guy, but the only reason he's pulling as high as he is because he's neither of those two people.
Yeah. I mean, he could.
Oh, and weed. Yeah. And weed.
I mean, look, he could be on a debate stage with them and stick his thumb out like this and it'll be fucking fine.
God. Fucking damn it.
Like, what the fuck are you doing? He stuck his tongue out in an interview. That woman backed away from him like she had seen a lizard person. She was like, this dude's fucking crazy. He's a fucking moron. He's a moron.
I know some actual libertarians who are like, man, I really wish Bill Weld was the top of that ticket.
Yeah, he fucking should be. Because he's not retarded.
Like, yeah, and then you can just have your wacky vice president out there being weird, and Bill Weld is the actual adult in the room.
Yep. But no, no, no. It's Gary fucking Johnson. Good job, everybody. Dumb, dumb dummies. Holy shit. Have you ever watched that? I'll have to send it to you. It's a video of the libertarian, like, their libertarian convention.
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude.
With the fucking stripping fat guy on stage.
Yo, I was fucking rolling. It was their actual national convention. It's insanity. Yeah. And you want to vote these yahoos into power. Okay. If you say so, man. You fucking say so. All right. That is it for us this week. That Gary Johnson story made me so fucking mad. So do you think, what's the percentage chance that Gary Johnson does something stupid this coming week?
Oh, it's a weekly thing. I guarantee it.
All right. I believe
you. I guarantee it. Because now people realize this guy's great TV. Let's put him on.
Ugh,
so, yes, someone else is going to get him up. And I said this, fair or not, he's just getting trivia questions from here on out.
He should.
Every time he shows up on TV.
But you know,
name three countries other than this one.
Mexico. Aleppo. Did I say Mexico already? Dude, I'm so high right now. He's basically Towley from fucking South Park. He is.
I have no idea what's going on right now.
Right, exactly. He's that fucking dog meme. I have no idea what I'm doing right now.
Vote for Towley.
Fucking 2016. He's a fucking idiot. Jesus Christ. All right, that's it for us. Obviously, make sure you share out the free version of the show that's on iTunes on lookforwardshow.com. Thank you for signing up. We really appreciate it. Make sure you go listen to our other shows in the TMP Studios Network. Obviously, The Nerdpocalypse is our movie and film show. Black on Black Cinema, which is our show all about black films and other films in the African diaspora. Make sure you check out Dense Pixels, our video game podcast, and of course all of the other shows and premium content. We really appreciate it, and we will see you guys next week for another Gary Johnson fucking hour. All right.
Indeed.
Later.
Thank you. Bye.